My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. Picture this. You are born into this world and at a very young age have an awareness of spirit and that you're here for a higher purpose. In your late teens, you write and self-publish your first book, leading to more than 1,000 national radio and television appearances. Then at age 39, you receive a calling to heal and, following faith alone, uproot your life and begin an extraordinary healing journey. My guest this week on Destination Unlimited, Clementina Marie Giovannetti, lived this life. Clementina is a national best-selling author, an acknowledged authority on dream interpretation and all spiritual matters, a spiritual maverick, a spiritual mentor, gifted healer, and TV host of Spiritual Wisdom TV. For nearly 40 years, Clementina has graced the airways nationwide with her extraordinary gift of sight and profound wisdom about all spiritual matters. Clementina is the author of Jesus and a Roman Centurion, a past life memoir, the best-selling guide to spiritual interpretations of your dreams, and Miracles and a Prophetic Message from an Angel. Her website is spiritualwisdomtv.com, and she joins us this evening to share her story. Please join me in welcoming to Destination Unlimited, Clementina Marie Giovannetti. Good evening, Clementina.
Good evening, Victor.
Thank you so much for joining us and sharing your amazing story.
Well, let's get started.
Here we go. Now, your story is a story of awareness, faith, and healing. Please tell us about what your spiritual realization was like as a child.
I was totally aware that there was, I guess I could even say in a humorous kind of way, there was two of me. And it all started at night, you know, when Mom and Dad would say, time to go to bed. And I would go to sleep and, you know, grab on the teddy, and the next thing you know it, this ghost-like, this beautiful, like, white light energy form would just arise and float out of my human body. And then I found myself up at the ceiling, top of the ceiling of my bedroom. When it first happened, it really took me by surprise. And I would look down at my body, sound asleep with Teddy, and then I'd look at me, and I was like, there's two of me? And then what do I do? Now I'm at the top of the ceiling. And I found that I was able to travel, that I basically was able to go through physical walls and doors, and then I ended up into what I refer to as the astral planes. And there I met family members who had passed on, like great-grandfathers and grandmothers that I never met on the earth plane, but that knew me, angels that I had met, and it was just another world. I mean, world within a world within a world. And I found that that world most resonated with me. There was next to no judgment. They saw me for who I really was, and not as a child. It was more on a pure a respectful relationship, because when I came back down into my body and reentered my body, first of all, I just assume everybody did this. I just assumed that everybody was aware that they were multidimensional and that we were consciousness, that we existed with or without a body, and that our earth life was very temporary. You know, we were basically just going to school, you know, when we reentered our body, and now we were in this other dimension on Earth that I really found from a very young age rather challenging and uncomfortable. It was very difficult for me. It felt very heavy as far as its energy, and also it was very slow and sluggish. And then I found myself basically in a world that didn't really connect. It was like illusions to me, like they didn't make any sense to me, why they believed the way that they did. So that was norm from 2-3 years of age. And I just assumed mom and dad did the exact same thing at night, and that the Catholic nuns did it, and the Catholic priests did it, and the boys and girls at school did it.
And how did your family react? How did your family react to what you were experiencing?
Yeah, so the story that I share that I think really exemplifies the breaking point for my earthly parents was at the age of 5, Victor. And again, he said, okay, good night, Teddy. Rose up to the ceiling. And on this particular evening, one of my angelic voices called out to me and said, follow me, and I did. And it basically was, okay, this is your assignment. We were standing in front of this house that was totally engulfed in flames in Chicago, and my assignment was to go into the house, awaken the children, awaken the family dog, bring them out to safety. Okay, I didn't think anything of it. You know, my existence as a soul, as a consciousness in an out-of-body state was just as normal. It didn't matter to me if I was in my body or out of my body. I was the same person. And to me, it was like, well, this is one way that you get it done, right? It's easier to get it done this way without a body than in my body. Obviously, limitations all set in. So as I entered the house that was on fire, I found the children, found the dog, began yelling, wake up, wake up. They heard me somehow, and they followed me. I don't know what they saw, but I brought them out to safety. When I returned to my body and then within hours woke up, went to the kitchen table looking for some a bowl of Cheerios, you know, I was exhausted, and I started telling mom and dad, oh my God, you know what I had to do last night, an angel came and got me, and it was a big assignment. I mean, like, this was the biggest assignment I ever got, you know, mom and dad. And, you know, I had to go in the house and it was on fire, and I had to get the boys and girls, but I did, you know, and everybody's okay. And I'm so proud of myself, you know? And I thought mom and dad would finally like me, you know, like I had done something finally good that mom and dad would recognize as good, and that the beatings would stop, because that's what I got before whenever I came to the breakfast table and shared one of my nightly experiences. And dad was reading the newspaper, and immediately I noticed that it was like an earthquake and it was just shaking. And he put down, you know, the newspaper, and the look in his eyes was just pure horror. I mean, he was terrified of me. And mom finally said, okay, that's it. We are taking her to the priest, and we are going to put her through exorcism. You know, she is possessed by the devil. And I got the beating of my life that day from my father with his magic belt, his leather belt, and the buckle, until the blood was just pouring out of my legs. And that was his thing. It was like, this is the devil, you are possessed by a demon, and we're going to beat it out of you. And then mom, of course, took me to the Roman Catholic Church to get exorcism, you know. But fortunately for me, they didn't get their way with me at all. I kicked and screamed and bit the priest and anything I needed to do. No one was touching me. I took the hammer fist, you know. It's like, don't touch this. So, yeah, that's how they responded to my awakened consciousness, my spiritual abilities from such a young age.
You must have felt very different and very alone.
I did. I, you know, when you're a child, it's not like you're an adult and all of a sudden you become conscious and you're on the fence and you start thinking you've had some experiences, some dreams, and you go, I wonder what this is, and maybe your organized religion doesn't really understand it or can explain it. So then you can go to the library or go to Barnes & Noble and you can pick up a book and you could read, right? And you could start and you can connect, right, in the meetup and meet different people, and you could start talking. But when you're 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, and back in the 50s, no. and it didn't make any sense either, because at that time, you know, we had television shows, you know, like the Donna Reed Show, Father's Knows Best, Leave It to Beaver. And I was watching the shows, you know, Victor, and Mom and Dad was they were so wonderful on these shows. Andy Griffin, you know, so wonderful on these shows. And they provided a safe haven for their children. And they were revered and looked upon by the children as, well, Mom and Dad have the answers, right? That's who I go to for understanding and clarification, right, about my experiences. But it was the complete opposite for me. You know, I was just met with a very vital reaction and the beatings from my parents. And I just was clueless. I just didn't get it. Why didn't they do the same thing? Why didn't they understand at all? I couldn't even comprehend it at such a young age.
Did you have any friends, as children friends?
I really didn't. You know, the children, I don't know what it really was, but they, you know, eventually from the time I entered school, elementary school through high school, I was class president of everything. You know, if I was on the cheerleading squad, I was a leader. They always made me the leader, but nobody would socialize with me. And I remember I was maybe only 6, 7 years old, and I had a little birthday party and sent out the invitations, you know. And not one child showed up at my house. Not one.
That's just...
And so I think they just didn't know, you know, what to do with me. And I mean, the children, some of the children would bully me, you know, at school and stuff, and call me weird and stuff like that. But the most volatile reaction I got was from my immediate parents and the church, you know, the priests and the nuns. And that just didn't make any sense to me at all.
What advice?
You know, because these are the people that you go to for support.
For trust, absolutely. What,
right.
What advice would you give to parents who have children who are manifesting gifts at a young age?
Yeah, and I have a lot of parents that contact me, Victor, of children, particularly that have from the age of 2 to 5 years of age, they're having flashbacks of their former lifetimes. And most parents, unfortunately, are just not prepared. You know, they don't get it. They don't understand it. They don't even know if they believe, right, in past lives. So when their young 2-year-old or 3-year-old is just talking about this and vividly explaining everything, whether they've experienced or they're still seeing, you know, they generally just dismiss it first. They go into denial. But if the child persists, you know, then sometimes the parents will reach out to me. But first of all, don't beat your child. You know, that's not going to disconnect the child. Hopefully it's not going to disconnect the child, that the child doesn't totally go into their own denial of their self and their awakened consciousness. And the most important thing is to realize that it's not your child. This is a soul who has chosen to incarnate into a human body through you. And that child hasn't come from you. It's come through you and has lived many, many lifetimes. And in fact, when they're young, 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, Victor, they're fully awakened. They're still in the soul consciousness. And they may also still be having residual effects from their former personality and lifetime as well. And they're kind of like just dancing between the two time zones. They're still in the past, especially if it was a traumatic death, and then they're still now re-entering into this new body. And they haven't really been able to sever yet the time lapse. So parents need to look into the eyes of their children, and they need to see the soul. Forget that this is not your child. This is not your body that you created, and, you know, you're going to program it, and you're going to decide the outcome of this child's life. This is a soul. You don't know how many times that soul has incarnated and what that soul has experienced or evolved to. And if anything, this is where the parent needs to take a more submissive and respectful relationship to listen to the soul. Because, in fact, that soul is, like I said, soul awakens still in the soul of consciousness. And this child can reawaken, can help the parent to remember that they're a soul as well. And have you forgotten, you know, why you're here and who and what you really are? Because most parents have just become so robotic and so programmed humanistically that they forget.
Sage, you know? Advice from my guest, Clementina Marie Giovannetti. We'll be back with more of Clementina after these words on the OM Times Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity. wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this evening is Clementina Marie Giovannetti. She's the author of Jesus and a Roman Centurion, a past life memoir, and the best-selling guide to spiritual interpretation of your dreams. So Clementina, in 1973, at age 18, you wrote and self-published your first book called Five Finger Balance. What was that book about, and what prompted you to write it?
I left home for the first time at 10 years of age and lived on the streets on and off. And then finally, by the time I got to my junior year of high school, I was completely independent. So in order to survive, I had to get a human job, right? And I became a journalist. I worked for a community newspaper in Chicago, News Journal World. And that's when I discovered my gift of writing and that I really loved it. It was as natural as my spiritual abilities. And so while I was doing the journalistic work, similar to your story, it was like, why don't I write about my life? Even from a young perspective of 17 years of age, it was like, and maybe, just maybe, it'll like almost like a magnet, it'll draw other people to me that are similar to me, because up until that point I hadn't met anybody else like me. And so it was about my struggles as a child and how my soul and my awakened consciousness was basically being denied. It wasn't being acknowledged at all. And the beatings and the struggles that I went through, basically living with earthly parents that were completely disconnected, you know, from this reality. Yes. And how they responded. So I just told my story. That was basically it. And I self-published because obviously no one was going to publish me. Back then, you know, in the 70s, I mean, you had to pretty much be a celebrity or a PhD doctor or something like that to be published. And I found a book in, of all places, in the library from a gentleman who was a pioneer at that time in self-publishing, and decided to do it. And then the interesting thing was knocking on the old-fashioned radio and television stations in Chicago and doing my pitch. And, you know, they weren't really prepared for my out-of-body experiences or spiritual abilities or other dimensions and the astral planes. They really didn't talk about that on air back then in the 70s. But they were very touched by my profound courage and strength and fortitude as a child, a 17-year-old girl that didn't even have a college education and lived on the streets, really, from 10 to 17. And that was their story. That was their comfort zone, and they wanted to talk about that. And so from that, my private practice began, and then I retired from journalism. And predominantly, my clientele were women who had been battered and abused and sexually abused, as I had been. And again, even they didn't want to go there. You know, occasionally they'll bring up a dream, but because I had lived through it and survived it and rose above it, and I was a survivor. And I wasn't a psychologist or a psychiatrist. I was a street kid. You know, this was firsthand life experiences. And that was the strength and the courage and the insight. And I was helping them to find themselves as well.
Let's go back to the fact that you were 18 at the time that you published this book and began mm-hmm. getting your prominence and getting into the work that you were doing. At 18, most people would find it daunting, but obviously from your experience, you're an old soul. How did you feel you're 18 years old in this incarnation, but how did you feel inside?
I think it continued on, Victor, with even my clientele, that yes, as a woman, I was able to relate to the physical abuse, mental abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse, as I had experienced throughout this incarnation from a young child. But I still wasn't getting the total connection with them as souls. it was like they also, you know, even though they came to me and I created a safe environment for them, and I did in fact help them to help themselves, they still also were not aware or were not ready. They would say, well, I had this experience last night, you know, but the church says that's bad, that's evil, we shouldn't be doing that. And I realized that I was up against, you know, a whole different, to me, a very unusual consciousness. It was like an altered reality. You know, it was like, why are they telling them all these things and teaching them all these things when in fact they're not even the truth? And it was like they weren't able, they just didn't give themselves permission to function and be allowing themselves to be who they really were as a soul and freely, you know, express themselves through their human forms, but rather they chose to live these very limited, restricted, conformed lifestyles according to the authority at the time and what other people were telling them, you know, what they needed to become and who they needed to become. And to me, that's suicide. And so even though I wasn't really connecting, I couldn't connect on a soul level to these individuals, but I was still helping them, but it allowed me, I created my own portal, you know, my own catalyst, my own platform. I'm going to be me, you know, like being gay. I'm coming out of the closet,
right,
you know,
absolutely.
But they couldn't, they just couldn't do it.
So tell us a little bit more about how your life ensued between that publication, the National Prominence, and your calling at age 39. What happened during that period of time?
Well, the book, The Best-Selling Guide to Spiritual Interpretations of Your Dreams, just became a bestseller in 1986. That was it. It hit the charts. And pretty much every national television show and radio show at the time, Larry King, The Late Show, Sally Justy, Raphael, they all just brought me in. And I think it was because of my very conservative and conventional platform, how I spoke about these things, you know, how I dressed, and that I was very empathetic and sensitive to their audience. And the bottom line was everybody dreams, but very few people understand. So that was kind of like my book, my platform. And depending on the host, I would be able to open up maybe a little bit, you know, of my world. But again, it was least I was able to begin to openly talk about out-of-body experiences, deja vus, and premonitions. And then that ran for almost 20 years. And then at the age of 38, going on 39, I was disconnected. I used to do like 50, 60 shows in a month. Just that was my full-time job, just appearing on shows and interpreting people's dreams and nightly visions. And then one day during a show, I literally got disconnected. It's like I couldn't see anymore. It's like they took my sight away, literally. And I remember I was born with my sight, so I didn't know what it was like not to have a sight, mm-hmm. ability to see and to read people and see through the illusions. And I was basically told on a soul level that, you know, we're going on a little journey. And I stopped everything I was doing, my private practice, all my radio shows, and I just packed up what I had. I was living in Miami at the time, and I had and converted my BMW for a little pickup truck. And because I know wherever they were sending me in the middle of no place. And I end up in this little town called Blue Ridge, Texas, of all places. And the story begins that I really didn't know what I was doing there. And I would take long walks in the open fields and just talk to God. And I still couldn't see, but like my interconnection to God was really growing, really, really deep. And his presence was becoming more profound. And one day I was bored and said, you know, I'm going to take some horseback riding lessons. I'm in the middle of Texas, right? I've never even seen a horse in my life, ever. Face to face. And I showed up at this barn, this horse training facility. And the moment I walked in, I was with this man named Kirk, the owner, and, you know, typical Texas guy, and he had dip in his mouth, you know, and all of that, and the cowboy boots. The moment I walked into the barn, all the horses saw me, and they recognized me immediately. And I didn't realize, I'd never communicated with animals before. And all of a sudden, it was like a Dr. Doolittle moment, and I was actually able to hear the animals. I was able to hear the horses, and I could understand what they were saying to me. And they all had their stories. And then I stopped, and he said, we can't go any farther, because there's this horse at the end of the barn, and that had this enormous hole on the right side of his head. The owners had beaten it nearly to death and had brought it to that place to be sold. And the horse wouldn't let anybody go near him. And he was just so traumatized by the beatings. And the next thing you know it, this incredible, unbelievable, can't find the human words to describe it, powerful white light just totally came over me. It came through like a spear. It came through the roof of the barn and just totally just embraced me. And within the light, that angelic voice there again was, and she said, will you heal him? You know, will you help him? And I said, yes, but how? And it said, just walk into the light. And I did. And I walked up to the stall, and I opened up the stall. Now, this horse was like 16 hands tall and enormous, and the horse never even attempted to try to hurt me in any way. It actually walked gently back into the stall to allow me in. And I raised my left hand, which by that time was burning on fire. Completely, it was like an electrical explosion going on in me. I also was having a difficult time breathing because this white light was so expansive. I was like dematerializing, literally. And as I touched the horse with my left hand, it was like on contact, it was like an explosion. And the hole opened up, and all this liquid pus, infection, everything was coming out. And after that all occurred, I don't really know humanly for how long, but then it began to regenerate because he literally had a hole like about 3.5 inches in diameter. And the hole was literally like tissue was literally rebuilding.
I'm going to ask you to hold that at one point. We're going to have to take a quick break, and we'll resume your story after this. My guest this week on Destination Unlimited, Clementina Marie Giovannetti. Clementina, please tell our listeners how they can find your books and more about you and your work.
The website is www.spiritualwisdomtv.com. Spiritualwisdomtv.com.
And where can they get your books?
My books are available both through the website, but also on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, Smashword, iTunes, Apple, you name it.
Wherever great books are sold, and we'll be back with more of Clementina Marie Giovannetti after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
You're listening to OTR-FM. Part of the IOM Radio Network.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on OM Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
Hi, this is Bill Maher. I can find humor in almost anything, but one thing I never laugh about is cruelty to animals. If you don't get the joke either, write People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, 501 Front Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 23510.
Looking for uncommon talent? Meet the grads of life. They're not the typical candidates you're used to, but they're exactly who your company needs. An ideal fit for entry-level positions, internships, and even mentorships. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn more. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this evening, Clementina Marie Giovannetti. And Clementina, before the break, you were talking about this first healing experience with this horse in Texas. So go ahead, you start feeling the pus coming out.
Yeah, so the moment I made contact with my left hand, it was just amazing. I was having a very difficult time breathing. I felt as if I was going to be literally dematerialized. The white light was just so profound, and it was just it was just so expansive, and I never experienced that in human form before, ever. The horse actually began to cry also. Tears actually were beginning. He was having an incredible emotional release as well. And then began asking me, why did his owners beat him, and why had they abandoned him? So the animal communication was continuing. I was actually able to hear the horse's voice. But it was my first experience incarnated in a human body that I realized that they have emotions as well, and very similar to human emotions. And I remember that was the only time I broke for just a second. I completely forgot about Kirk, the owner of the facility, and turned to him and said, "Do horses cry?" Because the tears were just coming down this horse. And he literally, the dip was just falling out of his mouth. His hair was up on his arms because he had literally witnessed this profound healing, this profound miracle, because the hole went from 3.5-4 inches in diameter to first cleansing and clearing out all of this, just the infection and old dead cells, to literally rematerializing new tissue. And the hole was closing up literally in front of his eyes within a matter of minutes. So, really, what can he say? But that moment changed my life. And as I looked down, I had a very difficult time driving home. I know that I went through several traffic lights because I no longer could distinguish between a red light and a green light. Like, I didn't remember. I couldn't remember. I don't know. It's red. What do you do? I didn't remember. It's like my humanistic programming had been erased. And when I got back, I was living actually in a trailer, a little mobile at that time in the middle of no place. It was the same thing. I looked down and I was just white light. I couldn't even see my human form. I had completely been transformed. And then it was from that moment on, I had an angelic experience in the house in Blue Ridge that I actually ended up running after that. And the angel came and said, I catapulted into another dimension. And she said, because of your tremendous love and faith and father, you're going to return and you are going to heal them. And people just started showing up. It was just very similar to that movie that came out many years ago, Field. Was it Field of Dreams?
Yes.
Where that guy just cleared out his corn, and next thing you know, he's building a baseball field, and
if
everybody's
you build
like,
it,
what?
They will come. If you build it,
they will come. And it was the same thing in Blue Ridge. It was the same thing. People just started showing up, and I just proceeded to lay hands on people and animals. And it was my education. It was my prayers had been answered, and it also was the connection that I didn't even realize at that time of my previous lifetime, 2,000 years ago, as a Roman centurion, when I was given a military assignment to find the child named Jesus, because Herod the Great at that time was a madman, and he was very threatened by the rumors and the stories that were coming up about this child and that he was going to be the new king of the Jews. So Herod wanted him basically just destroyed or put in a dungeon, but take care of it. So he was good friends with Caesar of Augustus, who I worked for at the time as a centurion. And as a centurion, then Caesar gave me the assignment to go find this child. And when I found him, because there were no names, they didn't have last names back then, and there was no census, so we didn't have addresses. But I found the child, and the moment I found him, I knew he was the child. Even though I didn't have any human previous experience, how would I know it was him, and how would I feel in his presence? And when I met him and I knelt down before him, I didn't want to cause him any harm, and I made the decision to betray everything that I had allowed myself to become in that lifetime, all the military vows that I had taken to serve Caesar in the Roman Empire, and I betrayed everything as I knelt in front of this small child. And he never said a word, but he opened himself up, and we looked into each other's eyes, into each other's souls, and he shared his consciousness with me. He shared his soul with me, and his frequency, his energetic frequency, which was amazing. The love was so profound, and how he saw, he was not programmed at all. He had no human programming in him at all. He was definitely not of this world. And he must have seated me then, because obviously, that's why then, when I had my regression in 202, that's when I realized, you know, it was like, now I know why I am who I am and at the level of evolution that I am in this lifetime, and why it was just so familiar and natural for me. And at age 39, why this gift of healing that he apparently seeded in me in a former lifetime was finally awakened. So, and now I was able to give him the incredible blessing to experience what he had experienced as a healer, that unbelievable intimacy of God's love and presence coming through you as a vessel, as a vehicle. And it's just amazing, an amazing lifetime.
And as a Roman centurion in that lifetime who received this awareness and this love from the Christ child, what happened to you?
They beheaded me.
Of course.
Yes. When Jesus and I disconnected, obviously I was completely transformed. And during the time that I was with him, I don't know how he did it, but he dematerialized my human personality. The Roman centurion basically literally dissolved. It melted. It disappeared at his feet. It did. And when I got back on my centurion horse and took the long journey back to Rome and was obviously going to have to report that, by the way, I betrayed you, and yes, I met him, but, you know, no way, and that I was willing to die for it as well, because I knew what I had done. I knew the choice that I had made and what the consequences were going to be as a centurion. When I finally arrived in Rome and they saw me, it's like they saw it in my eyes. They saw it in my face. It was as if, and they said, what did he do to you? They knew it right away. I never said a word, by the way. Never, ever, ever spoke. From the moment I got off of my horse and entered into the Roman palace, and the other soldiers and centurion, my supervisors, were waiting for me, and of course the Christ child wasn't with me, they were like, what did he do to you? And where is he? And I never said a word. And then they put me in this lower region where they generally put criminals in, and they shackled me by my feet and by my wrist and interrogated me for nearly 4 hours. I never said a word. And the first hour was, how can you betray, you know, Caesar? How can you betray Rome? Never said a word. But then they were really starting to lose it. You know, before that, nobody really took Jesus serious except Herod the Great. He was the only one that really was bothered by maybe the possibilities of what this child was going to be able to do. But as far as Rome was concerned, they weren't concerned at all. But now they had one of their centurions who they saw in my face and my eyes that I had been transformed. Now they were concerned about this child. And after 4 hours of not saying a word, they basically said, how would you like to be executed? And I chose beheading. So I was beheaded within 24 hours after I knelt before this child.
And you can read the entire story of Clementina's experience in that lifetime in Jesus and a Roman Centurion, a past life memoir. Let's get back to the question of healing for a minute. When you're in the process of healing, what does it feel like to you?
To me, it is true, Victor. It's real. It is our full potential. It is what we are truly capable of, God-given. I really believe this is the what God had in mind when he created us, you know, as individual expressions of himself, just parts of his own soul, parts of his own energy, now, you know, in an individual incarnation. And it's a total just unity. I mean, you're finally in that state of oneness, perfection, and it's all there, and there's no fear, and there are no illusions. It's just such a profound love and such a profound wholeness, and it wasn't until I began doing the healings and I was so connected with his presence and the white light that my soul was finally filled. It was like I found the perfect food for my soul. And there was nothing, I came to the realization that there was nothing, Victor, on the earth plane that could ever replace that. There was no artificial man-made substitutions at all that could ever give me the same type of soul connection or energetic constitution, you know, a frequency. So it totally reconnected me with my own soul. It gave me that, yes, you know, and I wish to remain at this level and this awareness and this connection forever, and that I'm never going to fall asleep or deny myself of who I really am, and I'm never going to allow the human consciousness to take me and make me into a man-made, you know, product. It was just, you know, and I share my story in Miracles and a Prophetic Message from an Angel, as well as in the Jesus book, because I want people to know that I'm not special. This is not about me. I'm sharing my life experiences because I want other souls to know that they have within them the same exact potential.
Absolutely.
That they can, in fact, experience this in their own human incarnation. And the greatest part about my experience in this lifetime is that it is possible. And I think Jesus, as he became an adult, that's what he was trying to convey as well. That we have many choices in life of what consciousness we wish to become, allow ourselves to become, and to express. And why not choose this? Can you imagine
absolutely.
The planet Earth
when we recognize,
if we all took that Christ consciousness and accepted it, embodied it?
And the words were, the kingdom of heaven is within you. We'll be back with more of my guest, Clementina Marie Giovannetti, after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Change and growth are part of natural life, and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active, another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes, another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger, two if you're very overweight, and three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Okay, men, time to be an all-star caregiver. Drive them to physical therapy, doctor's appointments. Be there emotionally and physically. Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Caregiving is tougher than tough. Find care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Join me, Maggie Chula, on Mondays at noon Eastern for Mastermind with Maggie. Let's work together in a mastermind. We can resolve life's problems and create goals for the future. Build action steps empowering you to create your life in partnership with your divine source of light, your soul. Manifesting your goals can be simple and easy, so come with your problems and leave with a plan. The Akashic Master Teachers and I are waiting to help you.
back on Destination Unlimited. My guest this evening, Clementina Marie Giovannetti. She's the author of Jesus and a Roman Centurion, a past life memoir, the best-selling guide to spiritual interpretations of your dreams, and Miracles and a Prophetic Message from an Angel. So let's talk about dreams. When you alluded to this earlier, when did dream interpretation become part of your practice?
Oh, 17. That was how I started my practice, right out the gate. The moment I went public and wrote my first book and contacted radio and TV shows, you know, at 17, I realized, I didn't know for sure if the world was going to be like my mom and dad, but I was kind of like, well, on the safe side, everyone dreams that much. No one was able to disagree with me, right? Even the nuns were dreaming. But it was like, let's start with that. Something that they do, even though they may not acknowledge it or place any value to it or really understand what the process is and the importance of it, but at least I can go, oh, what did you dream about last night? Rather than talking about my experiences, I gave them the platform. So yeah, 17 publicly, that's what I became the dream interpreter.
In your experience, what are dreams? What are they? Why are they here?
I really believe that dreams are the opportunity for a soul to step out of our human consciousness and to reclaim our true soul consciousness and potential. I really do. I think it's just the portal, the gateway, where a soul can leave their body at night, revisit with loved ones who have passed on, and communicate with them while they're out of their body. They can join them in the astral plane. They could also travel. They could time travel. They see the future as well and bring it back. They can also get information and clarity about a circumstance or an individual, perhaps, that might be confusing to them in their physical state or their awakened state. So I think it allows the soul, the consciousness, to basically get the needed assistance and profound clarity or healing that they need. And sometimes it's just fun, you know, just to go travel. It's great.
What are some of the common themes that people relate about in their dreams?
I think one of the most common ones, beside I can't remember my dreams, is the flying dreams. Those are so popular. And you find that people often will say, Victor, that they, you know, it's like, Clementina, why have I stopped dreaming of flying? I used to be able to fly all the time, you know, when I was younger. But then as I got older, you know, then I was like, you know, drowning in water and all this kind of stuff. So dreams are our mirror reflection, and they tell us basically how we're doing on the earth plane. How is our incarnation, you know, our progress doing? And it will mirror back to us if we're afraid of something, limited, and so forth like that. And a lot of people also have communication with their loved ones who have passed on. So, and reoccurring dreams are a big thing. I mean, that seems to be the norm. How come I'm 50 years old and I'm back in high school? Why am I, and I'm in that classroom and I can't find a classroom or I can't pass the test, you know? So reoccurring dreams are also very, very popular.
A lot of people you alluded to said people can't remember their dreams. Is there a way we can better remember our dreams?
Yes, thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this tip. In the old days, people thought that the best way to do it is have a journal by their bedside, or maybe even have a, you know, like an audio cassette. But what both of those two things require somebody to do, Victor, is open up their human eyes. The most important thing to help you if you want to remember your dreams is do not open up your human eyes. It's okay to start coming back into the body, wiggle your toes and realize that, oh, I'm back into the human frequency, the third dimension again, but do not open up your eyes. Because if you do, it's like disconnecting from a phone conversation. Keep your human eyes closed, and if you can, have a voice-activated recording, and then just talk into it, because if you open up your eyes, and your human eyes now are like the portals, they make contact with this third dimension, you will disconnect from the other frequency. So if you keep your human eyes closed, you're still connected to the astral plane. You're still connected to your soul consciousness. And you want to stay there as long as necessary so that you can go ahead and voice activate and put down all your experience, your emotions. Once you're done, it's like hanging up a phone. That once you open up your human eyes, you are literally severing yourself from that consciousness, the higher consciousness. And now you've totally entered into your human body. And now you're in this third dimension.
And that's
and now your human eyes take over.
And, that's
and then you're questioning, like, was that real?
Yeah.
Did that really happen?
Can we program our dreams? Can we have a suggestion, say, I want to dream about this tonight, or I want an answer to a question, and program that into a dream?
Without a doubt. I dedicate that in the best-selling guide to spiritual interpretations of your dreams. The first, like, three chapters really focus on what dreams are about, how to recall our dreams, the purpose of the dreams, and just that, to work with it, cooperate with it, create a partnership with that, basically your subconscious mind, but your superconscious and soul conscious, so that before you go to sleep, if you haven't really evolved and haven't developed your psychic or intuitive abilities, that you could read a situation, read someone or the circumstance, at night then go for it, right? And start exploring your spiritual God-given abilities there. And have a journal and just write. You know, what do I need to do about this? Show me the clarity. Or I'm really not sure about this person, if I wish to proceed to have a relationship with this person. Is this person really someone that I could trust? Do they have really honorable intentions? Absolutely. Write it all down. And if not necessarily that night, don't get disappointed. You know, just keep it on your list of things that you want to work on when you do enter into that dimension. And it will. It will. That's what it's there to do. It's there to help you, to assist you.
Are lucid dreams different than other dreams, and how so?
Yes. Lucid dreams is really not about the dream. It's really about the dreamer, Victor. It's that individual's soul has evolved, has allowed themselves, given themselves permission to enter into an awakened conscious state in or out of a body. So at nighttime, when they do fall asleep and then they enter into these other realms and dimensions called dreams, they're still fully awake. It's not as if they even have fallen asleep. And they are conscious, and they're conscious within a consciousness of, I know where I'm at. I know that my body is sleeping. I know that I've now entered into this other dimension, and now I want to work on this. And the most important thing about lucid dreamers is that they also are aware that ultimately they need to choose the final outcome. That if, in fact, there are some souls in the third dimension that are trying to harm them, are threatening them, causing difficulties for them, and now they work on that in this astral plane, in the dream world, and these, you know, people are coming and attacking them, maybe even taking shaping into forms of animals or something like that. As a lucid dreamer, you need to get your power back. You need to come face to face with your fears, and you need to ultimately choose the outcome of that dream. Because based on what you choose of the outcome of that dream, that's what's going to reflect in the third dimension. I really view the third dimension as the dream world. I really do. And the dream world as where we're really fully awakened to our true selves.
So if there's someone in the third dimension who's giving us difficulty in life, be it in a relationship, professionally, what have you, you can use the power of lucid dreaming to find a way of working with that person, dealing with that person, bringing a power.
Yeah, you can kick their butt and get away with it.
Well,
I'm taking, you know, you can't grab your 20, you know, your 38 or your 20 gauge shotgun and start shooting people here in the third dimension. You won't get very far, okay? Right. But in the astral plane, the lucid dreaming, okay, if that person is stupid enough, sometimes they are in my life, to come at me, okay? And I'm like, now I gotcha.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now I could express my power, okay? Because the no that I was conveying on the third dimension, you were ignoring. You weren't getting the message. You're a slow learner, very stubborn. But on the astral plane, you can, there's many ways you can say no. There's many ways that you can put an end to it, and their intimidation or bullying or try to dominating you or trying to have control of you. And you can get away with it. It's great.
Absolutely.
There's no cops up there.
With all of your experiences and the healing and the messages that you've received and the work that you've done, in our very complicated and sometimes frightening world, is there something that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Wake up. Yeah, wake up. Don't be afraid to be all that you are and can be, and that everything that I've shared today, you have the exact duplicate opportunity that is lying dormant within your own soul, within your own heart. And there's absolutely no reason for you to continue to deny who you truly are and what you are, and take back your power. And stop giving it to an artificial reality. You don't need to conform. You don't need to obey. Because within you, you do have the ability to create and manifest an awesome, awesome world. And it's just waiting for you to do that. And you don't have to become imprisoned and enslaved. You don't have to remain in this matrix and just go along because, you know, money? Really? Okay. So free yourself, liberate yourself, be all that you really can be.
Her books are Jesus and a Roman Centurion, A Past Life Memoir, The Best-Selling Guide to Spiritual Interpretations of Your Dreams, and Miracles and a Prophetic Message from an Angel. Clementina Marie Giovanetti, please tell our listeners where they can get your books and find out more about you and your work.
Absolutely. They can start with my website, which is www.spiritualwisdomtv.com, spiritualwisdomtv.com. And of course, all of my books that you mentioned are available on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, iTunes, Apple, and they're available in print on demand and electronic version as well.
Clementina, thank you so much for joining us this evening and sharing your message and the wonderful work that you do.
Thank you for the opportunity.
And thank you for joining us on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor the Voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.